This is Pod Forsaken.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Pod Forsaken. I'm Rodney Altman.
I'm Missy Levin.
And I'm Chris Sachs.
And we are a horror podcast where we talk about horror movies you probably haven't seen. This week, we are talking about Psycho Gorman, or is it PG Psycho Gorman? I'm not sure what the official title is.
But I think it's rated R.
It's which is super confusing. But before we dive into that, let's briefly talk about what we're going to do on the next episode so that you have a week to watch it and then come join us.
Missy, homework section.
The homework section. You put the homework up front, right? That way it's more appealing. I don't know.
That way people aren't like packing up their book bag, trying to leave the podcast and get to their next podcast.
Yeah. I got 5 minutes till the next podcast starts.
Excuse me. Do you have a podcast hall pass? You're not allowed to go out there.
So what's everyone's homework for next week?
We're going to watch an older movie this week. It's called Society and has a really cool cover on it.
I like that Society. It sounds like you have a silver spoon in your mouth. It's called Society.
Yes, it's a 1989 movie, if there's multiple when you look it up. And I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Do you guys know anything about it?
Mm-mm.
No.
Oh, really? Okay. So I know we no longer watch the trailers, but I already saw the trailer like a year ago, and I am so excited for you guys going blind. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but it looks fucking bonkers.
Yeah. The poster looks like one of the shots out of the editor, remember?
Yeah, I really know nothing about Society other than it's one of those movies that exists, and it's frequently brought up in those like those articles about like weird horror movies you still need to see, right? But it's strangely, I feel like it's not one that gets talked about a lot, you know? Like I rarely have been like hanging out with people and someone's like, what do you mean you haven't seen Society, mm-hmm. you know?
Totally.
Yeah. Well, so it's directed by Brian Usna, is that right?
I don't know.
I think he directed.
I figured I'd find like out
a,
when I
watched
like it.
There's like a whole bunch of dudes seemed like write, direct, and produce together. And like it's sort of like a mishmash of who's doing which and what film. But he is one of the co-writers of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh,
no way. All right.
Yeah. Huh. So I don't know. This seems cool. I'm excited for this.
Cool. So for all our listeners, if you've already seen Society, hooray, no homework. You're good. But if you haven't, you should watch it. I know it's streaming somewhere. I think it's on Amazon Prime.
I didn't even check. I can't believe I didn't check before I agreed to this movie. Wow.
Uh-oh.
It's funny. Missy is always the one to be like, let's make sure it's streaming somewhere free. And then she's the one who picks Psycho Gorman that you have to rent.
Yeah. Today we're doing Yara and the Dragon or whatever. Yeah. It's $30 at home.
I think Psycho Gorman, maybe even by the time this airs, it's going to be on Shudder because Shudder owns this. Like that was like the opening, 2 seconds. Shudder definitely owns the right. So I don't know. They just haven't put it up yet.
I guess it's a smart strategy for Shudder to like first charge you and then move it to their platform. But I was really confused because I was like, if this is a Shudder movie, how come it's just not on Shudder?
Yeah, I just Googled it and it said it'll hit the streaming service Shudder sometime in 2021.
So, got it.
Okay.
And Chris, to your point, you know what Disney should do? Instead of charging you $30 for the movie, they should charge you like a couple dollars every few minutes, right? So you're watching the movie and then like a message comes up and says, are you enjoying this? Would you like to watch 10 more minutes for $4? And you know, if at some point you're like, I'm no longer into this, you don't have to spend the whole 30.
Well, they should do it like a TV act breaks where they're like, what's going to happen after? Find out by paying $2.
Yeah. Actually, I might have to cut this out. I don't want to give anyone ideas.
Yeah. Like, well, we've already said it. It's already going to happen.
It's sort of like Tubi, right? It's like Tubi, but if they charged you.
Right.
Ugh, oh, I have updated information from my last statement. It premieres on Shudder January 22nd.
Oh.
Of this year?
Of this year. Mm-hmm.
It's March.
Oh. Sorry. Okay, I don't know what
happened. Amazing. That's staying. There's no way I'm cutting that.
I forget. I'm so confused of what month it is or day.
It's January 21st.
Good news, everyone. It comes to Shudder free 2 months ago.
And we paid for it.
Oh, boy. All right. So, Missy, you picked Psycho Gorman. Why did you pick it?
It just reminded me of those movies that I watched when I was a kid, just by like the poster and description of it. And I did think that it lived up to that. I like watching stuff that is like a mashup of different genres. And this was kind of, you know, a little bit of everything, little sci-fi, little fantasy, little horror, little comedy. So I just appreciate when people try to like do a lot of things in their horror movies.
So, okay, where to begin? I guess first we'll talk just briefly without spoilers, and then we're just gonna talk about the whole movie. Mm-hmm. But what'd you guys think? Let's just start with that.
Okay, there's parts of this that I loved. Like, I think yes. They did some aspects so well, and some aspects really irritated me.
Okay.
And were a little over the top. So it was, yeah, it was, I liked it overall, but there's some aspects that were very annoying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Chris? I mean, I think if you really like the monsters from Power Rangers and wanted to see like a hyper violent movie about them, this might be up your alley. But like, I don't know. It feels like it's not as artistic as like Blood Machines was, you know?
No, it's not like a music video. Like Blood Machines was just like this, like,
but I mean,
art.
Like it, Blood Machines had like a style to it that this is just feels like very like the creature effects are kind of creative, but it feels very much like somebody did this in their, you know, garage. I know a studio was involved with it, but it has that like kind of like trauma feel to it where it's like very schlocky. But
I think that was intentional.
Yeah, it is. And okay. I like that. And those are the aspects that I liked about it. I think anything that had to do with like story and plot were just kind of like, whatever, I don't really care about these characters. Just give me more. I wish it were more gags and less like tried to be a movie.
Hmm. So I like absolutely love this movie. I think this might be one of my favorite movies we've done on Pod for Satan.
Oh, dang. Okay.
Don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed it.
So the, did either of you, I forget if we talked about this last week, but are either of you aware that this is somewhat related to Astron 6, the people who make the editor?
I didn't when I picked it, but I did when reading about it. Yeah. Which is, so, I was like, oh, that's perfect for Rodney. Okay.
So yeah, I've talked about Astron 6 before. I believe they are now defunct. Like the company has disbanded, but they were a Canadian company and they've made a number of shorts and they made three feature films, all of which I love. And those are Manborg, The Editor, which
we just mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah. Father's Day. And look, I think they're all great. And they're all sort of in this vein. They're like this, they're all like intentionally schlocky, but really graphically violent, right? Mm-hmm. And they have a sense of humor about them. And it's just, I mean, it's clearly Rodney fuel, right? Like I didn't know that when I was watching this, right? But when I was watching it, I kept the dad of the family. I was like, who is that? That guy looks so familiar. And I had to pause the movie and look it up. And the dad is Adam Brooks, right?
Oh,
and Adam Brooks he's one of the co-founders of Astron 6. And he is the guy who plays the editor in the editor.
Right, you're right. You're totally right. Yeah, I didn't realize that. But yeah, that's
and
so cool.
The guy who directed Psycho Gorman is Stephen Kostansky. And Stephen Kostansky, I believe he was not one of the original members of Astron 6, but he joined them as like their, like, I believe, head makeup effects guy. And I think as the makeup guy, like both in The Void and in this, his creature designs are amazing.
Yeah, I love that aspect of this movie so much.
Like these are some of the most imaginative looking creature designs I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I agree with Chris that they have that Power Rangers thing.
No, but don't get me wrong. I don't mean that pejoratively. I love that. I think that worked really well for the type of movie that they're making.
Yeah, okay, cool. So we're on the same page there. Like, yeah, I mean, look, this whole episode is going to be me like gushing over this movie. But why don't we talk about the plot a little bit, right? What's the gist?
So this brother and sister, Luke and Mimi, they find, they're like, you know, just like play a lot together, and they're playing a game in the backyard, and they find some stuff buried, and they find this like stone, and they find some other stuff, but they don't really know what it is. And so they wake up the next morning and.
Well, it's also important. The game that they're playing is Crazy Ball, which is like this wild, wacky dodgeball-esque game.
Oh, is that a real thing? Okay.
No, but it's important for the plot.
Okay. And they stumble upon basically what was buried in that hole was this monster who they named Psycho Gorman. And since she has a stone, she can control Psycho Gorman. So he wants to kill everybody, but she can control him with the stone. Well, do you want to go more into it before?
Yeah, here's what we're gonna do. We're just going to let's just talk about the movie openly. At this point, like, if you haven't watched this film, I think you probably should. It depends if you like gory comedy. I think that's the best way to put
it.
With like a hard, not hard sci-fi, but a lot of sci-fi shit, right? I think this kind of lives in the vein also of Turbo Kid, which I've brought up before. Let me ask you guys a question. What year was this movie supposed to be taking place in?
1980s.
That's what I thought too, right? Because like no one had cell phones, but they never really specify.
Yeah. Did they not have cell phones? I saw somebody called somebody at some point. I don't know. It feels like it's one of those just like, it's supposed to be like a mock kids movie. So it could be any time between the 1980s and like 2012.
Yeah. It reminded me also of like, I don't know if you guys would remember this, but like that, like yeah, those 80s kids movies, like, is it called My Little Monster? I forget. It was like this Howie Mandel movie with, you know, you remember that? And like fuck.
Yeah, I do remember that. I don't remember anything about it other than Howie Mandel.
Howie Mandel is like a blue monster, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like one of the 80s was known for having a lot of like kid movies that were like a little too scary for kids, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And so, yeah, like this movie is about two young siblings who are probably like what, like 11, 12, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But it's like super R-rated and gory.
Yeah.
And I think that is truly amazing. And we almost never get movies like that. In fact, like, I think I'm going to refer to them as the Astron 6 people, but like, I think those are like the only people who make that. And that, and I guess the Turbo Kid people, those three French people, whose names I can never remember. I'm not good with names. That's what the internet's for. All right. Get off my back.
Oh, God.
So, okay. Let's just talk about the movie, right? So, yes, Luke and Mimi, they've created like they have this fake game of, what's it called, Chris?
Crazy Ball.
And like Crazy Ball has like these really complicated rules. And yes, they, while playing, I really wasn't sure why he has to dig up the backyard. That I would like, well, she said, if I win, I get to bury you.
Yeah, well, because it's just like, it's very, it's like an elevated sitcom tone in terms of like how the people and the kids interact, where it kind of reminded me like a Malcolm in the Middle type. Where it's just like, they're like, oh, you have to dig up the back. And then it like cuts and they've dug up like a 20-foot, like they've excavated with a backhoe, like a 20-foot space. And they're just holding shovels. And they're like, well, that was easy, you know?
right. Oh, I don't know if it's important, but at the beginning, there is like a little prologue where they talk about how like this evil alien was like slaughtering the universe. And then a band of people like bound him and buried him on Earth. Right. I don't know if we covered that. But
we did not. Yeah. I just gave like a 2-second description.
Yeah. And so, yeah, while they're digging, they find this like glowing gemstone. And like, look, it's because this movie has that goofy thing. I don't know. When the movie has that from the start, I'm willing to just like let go of all logic.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, you know, she's just like, I wonder if I push some buttons, and she just pushes some random buttons on this disc. And like on her first try, it like unlocks the gemstone. And she's like, oh, I got it. And so she like they go inside. And then I think that night is when we first meet Psycho Gorman, right? Who
yeah.
at this right. time doesn't, we don't know his name, right? And there's like these three like homeless criminals like hanging out like in a warehouse. And Psycho Gorman like comes in and I liked his design.
It's great.
He's like, I mean, best I could put it is like a hulking alien monster. I mean, you can see him on the cover of the movie. And he like, how does he kill them? Like he comes in and just like, he has magic and can just like, he just like freezes them in place, right? He like causes one
dude
to
this,
like
blow
up. Yeah,
with this like purple light. And yeah, he like, it's like he sucks all like the insides out of a guy. Like turns one to like a skin mask kind of thing. Yeah.
This movie is bonkers. The one guy's like, please don't kill me. And he goes, I don't want to die. And then Psycho Gorman's like, then you will live forever. And he like freezes him into a statue where his eyes permanently roll like 360 degrees, and like blood just like pours out of him.
Yeah. It's just like you get the idea that he's like living infinite deaths.
Yes.
Yes, and this is followed up in a few scenes later, and it's so funny. Psycho Gorman is very funny. This entire movie.
I love all the alien and all the Psycho Gorman shit.
Yeah.
I think my biggest complaint about it is it feels like the family is just, they were like, what's popular? Rick and Morty? Okay, yeah, let's have like a workaholic mom and a do-nothing shit-stained dad who's like kind of fucking up all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I loved everything about the monsters, every little aspect. I have literally not one complaint about the monsters or Psycho Gorman. The family, the mom and the dad and the brother, I was like fine with. Like, some lines are a little over the top and annoying. I feel really bad saying this, but like, literally my only issue with the movie is the little girl, Mimi. I think she was so annoying.
Oh, like, really?
I found her so annoying to the point where I was like taken out of scenes and it was distracting.
I disagree. I thought she was wonderful.
Really? I she almost, I give her an F and I give everything else an A.
Wow. No, I was like, I was so into her. I was like, this girl is so fucking funny. Her comedic timing was amazing.
I feel so bad even saying that, but I mean, she's a little kid. She's obviously going to become a much better actress.
I mean, for me, I felt, not that I don't want to say like an F, but like I felt like her brother was actually the weakest part. I thought he was
Her brother was weak, but he's not supposed to be the main character, so it didn't bother me.
I mean, I think he's one of the two main characters.
He's
an
afterthought. Like,
well, that's my issue, is that like part of the overall plot, or if you will, is that she is the more, I don't know what, like the more aggressive of the two, you know.
Yeah, she just bosses him around. She like throws his books on the ground.
Yeah, well, like, I didn't want to say that, Chris, but that's what I was gonna say.
And she does not listen to his safe words.
Chris,
she does not, or the brother's friend's safe words.
Chris, what did you think of the two siblings?
I actually think she is a good actor with good instincts. I think the way that character was written was just a little, it felt like a little too wink wink, like, haha, we're going to make like a psycho 11-year-old girl. And I felt like that was like the depth of her character. And like I feel like the director, writer, I don't know who, if there was, yeah, it was both Stephen Kostansky. I feel like he thought that was that was all it needed to be. And it just made her feel a little flat and annoying. And I don't think that's the actor's fault. I think that's the characterization and the directing.
I agree that is like, it was intentional. Like, I don't think she's bad, but yeah, it came off annoying to me.
I am more in that camp where that's what I say about, like, I feel like this movie could be a great cult classic if there was like that little bit of a heart to it that this movie didn't seem to capture.
Yeah, it's so close to being something I would watch like every year.
Yes.
I mean, clearly, you know, opinions and whatnot, but like, I don't know.
Assholes, and everyone, he wipes one.
I can agree that the girl is like a little hard to believe as a real person, right? Because she's such is bossy bitch okay to say about like a 12-year-old? I don't know. And she's like, she's so sassy that she's really just kind of like a movie character as opposed to like a real person. And like, I don't know, does she really have like an arc? I feel like by the end, she's kind of come around to being a better person. But I get where you're coming from, but I don't know. I just really liked her. I just thought it was really funny because I don't know. I was just on for the goofy ride that it was, right?
Yeah.
And like so all these things I think you're bumping against strangely didn't bump me. Like I think Adam Brooks is fucking hilarious as the dad. And
I thought he was funny too. This is literally my only complaint. I loved everything else about the movie besides this one complaint.
Okay. So, you know, let's jump back onto the plot, right? They find this gemstone and you meet mom and dad, right?
Well, so he eviscerates these people overnight, and then the kids like, does like the stone glow that night, and then they go to like, they get the sense that something happened?
I don't think so. I thought they were just like exploring.
Okay.
And they kind of stumble upon it.
Yeah, I don't really remember or know why they just happen to go to this warehouse.
Right.
But they do. And Psycho Gorman comes out and he's like, I will, you know, you will suffer eternity as I crush
so
your
funny.
Entire planet. Like, he's so serious. Yeah. He's so like
good.
He's pure like evil. Yeah. And he's And he's just basically like, I'm going to murder every human being and bathe in their blood.
Yeah, he calls himself the Archduke of Nightmares, right?
Yes.
Yes. And he goes to kill them, and then she like says stop, and he stops. And that's when her pocket starts glowing. And he's like, you have the, I forget the term, the gem of the something. It has like a complicated space name, right?
Yeah.
And he basically says, like, whoever possesses the gem can, like, I have to, like, obey them. Uh-huh. And this kind of felt a bit like T2, right? With, like, the way that, like, the Terminator has to do what John Connor says. And so, basically, this is the main plot of the movie, is that, like, this little girl has this stone that makes this evil alien overlord do exactly what she says.
And he's like, he's just, like, keeps saying about how he's going to get it from her and then do all these, drink her blood and bathe in it and, yeah.
And she's, like, she thinks this is so fucking entertaining, right? And they get into this, like, argument about how like his name is too stupid, like Archduke of Nightmares is dumb. Yeah. So her and her brother are like, we gotta come up with a new name for him. And one of them is like, what if we call him Goreman? And the other one's like, what about Psycho? And then she's like, Psycho Goreman.
They go through so, like 20 things first, and then yeah, land on that.
And so they call him PG for short. And I was just like, this movie, oh my God, I'm sorry. This is so fucking funny to me.
It is. Oh, and then the brother, like, accidentally knocks against the guy with the homeless criminal with his eyes rolling up. He's like, kill me. And he just, like, splatters, and Psycho Gorman's like, no, he was my greatest creation. What did you do?
And then you see, like, the dude's face, like, shatter into, like, 50 pieces. Yes. And, like, one of those pieces, it's, like, the mouth, and it moves, and it goes, like, thank you, as he dies. And I was like, I thought that effect looked really good.
It
you know?
Did. Yeah.
Again, I think across the board, the designs are all really fucking cool. Mm-hmm. And when the gore shows up, like, it's still got that, like, it's not going for realism. It's going for that pushed, you know, goofy kind of violence, but it still looks really good.
Yeah, it's all practical effects, and it makes it, you know, gives it that 80s vibe.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
So basically from here, they now have control of Psycho Goreman, and, she's pretty smart about it. She's like, okay, I order you to like just sit here and wait till I come back tomorrow, right? And so like Psycho Goreman just has to like sit on a chair and like stare out into space. And they, I think shortly after that, they like bring him a TV so he can like learn more about Earth. And after they leave.
He doesn't
leave,
want to. She commands him to. Like, right. She's like, to be more fun.
Yeah.
And he just keeps saying like, when I have my chance, you will suffer pain eternal. But I thought this was really cool how he like grabs the fucking TV and like he like talks to the like electromagnetic energy forces to send a message to his generals out in space. And he's like, I need you to come to this planet and kill this little girl and reclaim the gem, right? Mm-hmm. And then the TV starts like bleeding.
Yeah, that was so good.
I was like, bravo. I've never seen that. I don't think I've seen that before. You know, the actual sequence of events gets a little hazy for me after this, but I think things to talk about, right? There's their friend, Alistair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the brother's friend. He seems to be a few years older than her, like maybe like 2 years older or something.
Okay, so I guess the brother is the older brother. They're not twins, right?
No.
I think he's the older brother, and she's just like, you know, she's a crush on her brother's friend.
Okay, so she's actually more like what, like 10 and he's like 12?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she's got this like extreme crush on Alistair, who just kind of wants to come over and play video games with Luke, right? And I'm not like, this is the one part I was a little unclear on. What happens to him, right? Because like,
what happens to him? What? It's very clear.
No, I mean, let me rephrase. They are like, what, playing, they're hanging out with Psycho Goreman, and like, he's totally like not that interested in this like alien overlord, right? He's just sort of like, yeah, hi. So maybe we should go play video games. And, and maybe like gets upset, right? But and she says something to Psycho Goreman. I think I missed what that was. What did she like command him to do?
She didn't command him to do anything. She just wanted him to play basketball with her. And Psycho Gorman's like offered to, he's like, oh, when the princess of Faraduke needed, you know, she liked this other guy, I cast a spell on him to make, you know, he basically just offers to make him like her.
Yes.
And she doesn't know what that entails. But
okay. And so he like turns Alistair into basically like Krang from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
Like like the size of like a large dog. It's just like a giant brain with tentacles.
Giant brain.
like a beanbag chair size brain, right? And with two big eyeballs, and he's just like flopping around on the ground. And I guess what I missed was I thought, did she specifically say something about like turn him into a brain? Like I didn't understand why.
No, she just wanted him to like her and do whatever she said.
She wanted him to be complacent, basically. Got
it. And Psycho Gorman, like obviously any chance he gets, he like causes pain and mischief.
Yeah.
And this brain design thing really bothered me, like in a psychological way. Like it was really gross looking, but it kind of made me queasy.
Really?
There's just something about a brain with eyeballs on it that, like, I don't know. I started thinking about like the suffering it would feel like to be a brain with eyes and tentacles. And I don't know. It just. You know, just certain things get under your skin.
Yeah.
This was the one thing in the movie that every time it would cut to Alistair just like slowly crawling on the ground, I was just like, oh, I feel sick.
Well, it's also very odd too, because I mean, I guess it's part of the tone, but they just like very quickly move past that. She's not just like, what did you do to him? It's just sort of like, oh, okay, he's a big brain now. And everyone just kind of accepts it.
Yeah. Yes. No one tried to change him back. I was like, maybe Psycho Gorman could change him back at some point, but doesn't.
Yeah, she never. I did think that was odd. She never asks, like, can you change him back? One of the other things I thought was really kind of funny and interesting is that, like, very quickly in the movie, the parents find out about Psycho Gorman. Like,
yes.
they come out in the backyard and, like, they're like, get away from him, kids. Like, you know, like, oh my God, he's a monster. And she basically explains that like he's her friend and she can control him. And next thing you know, like they're all just kind of like hanging out. Like they're like the parents are just totally fine with the fact that like their two kids are friends with this alien overlord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also, so one of the first things we get to when they start to meet him is we get his backstory, which I really liked.
Yes.
Is that it's he's essentially was like a slave to this. There's also like the council or like the Templars part of it.
So let's talk about the council. It like cuts to some unspecified planet and there's like this council of aliens around like a holo table. And again, these designs were really fucking cool.
They were so memorable. Like they were all so like so unique and creative and well done. Like, and they were all so different. Each character was completely different from the last.
One, I think my favorite is like one is it's basically like a glass jar and in the jar is like a brain with, again, another brain with eyeballs on it, right?
But you loved this one, but you hated, brains need to be in jars is what you're saying.
Yeah, if it's enclosed, that's okay. Yeah. that, and then you meet, like, they're basically, they're discussing how they found out that, like, you know, Psycho Gorman has been released from his eternal prison and something has to be done or he's going to wipe out the universe. And that's when, like the head paladin, right? It's the paladin?
The Templars.
Templar, sorry.
Yeah, it's Pandora.
The character's named Pandora, and she is a Templar. And she, I thought her design was fucking awesome.
It was so cool. I was just fascinated by the whole time. It almost reminded me of, like, I feel like, the design of, like, to the face looked like Angelina Jolie to me. Kept thinking, oh, is that Angelina Jolie under there? It's probably not.
You might be.
They actually got Angelina Jolie and didn't put her name anywhere on the movie.
Yeah, it's very ballsy.
It could hurt marketing. But she basically looks like a robot angel is the best way to describe it, right?
Yeah.
And she's got these like wings that like fold down to become a glowing sword. And she basically is like, I'm the one who stopped Psycho Gorman the first time around and imprisoned him. So this time I'm going to find him and kill him for real. So
they
now
all,
that you...
All the council, the Gygax Council, I think it was called. They all looked like... Did you ever play like Masters of Orion back in the day?
No.
Oh, it's all like these old 4X space strategy games that had like the aliens, because they would be like, you know, 16 or 32 bit would just be like a lizard on a man robe. Like that. That's what all of these look like. It was like lizard guy, brain in tube guy, you know, robot angel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, they're on the planet Gygax, right? Or that's a separate planet.
The Gygax Council is what I think they're called.
Okay. And so I assume they're called that because Gary Gygax is the creator of Dungeons and Dragons.
Right.
But yeah, a little trivia for
like
you
that,
then, Missy.
Yeah.
Chris, have you heard of Dungeons and Dragons?
No, what is it? I've heard of Dungeons or Dragons.
Yeah, that's the Choose Your Own Adventure series. Dungeon or Dragon? And you're like, oh God, I.
It's a game that we would play. It's a drinking game. Dungeons or Dragons? Oh, Dungeons. No, Dragons, Dragons.
Yeah, so then Psycho Gorman gives his backstory to the kids. And go ahead, Chris. I know you're dying to tell it.
I mean, it's like the quintessential, like, epic thing where it's like, you think that this guy's a monster, but really he was like a slave that was like punished for an eternity under the rulership of the Templars. And he found, while he was like mining or whatever, you know, they're doing like a space dust mining thing.
Which looked really cool, by the way.
Yeah, it did. Because it
like cuts to the planet and you see.
Yeah, they
didn't
have to show that. That's a lot of work to show this backstory. And well done.
Yeah. And so he finds that stone, the thing that controls him, and he like basically like powers him up, and then he's able to like attack and kill and fight off their slavers, essentially. And I really like that, because it's like, you know, the way that the Templars are presented is like, oh, they look like angels, or like what, you know, early man would have seen and been like, oh, it's an angel. But then you're like, no, they're like vicious monsters that have this like zealotry that like lets them do horrific things. And you're like, no, the real monsters are the angels. This guy who looks like a demon is actually the good guy.
Well, except like he also goes around murdering planets, right? So like he's also a bad guy.
Yeah.
Like they're both bad.
I mean,
other guys were bad first.
Right. Yes.
But it's sort of like the chaos response to like, in the Dungeons and Dragons game that I've never heard of, people always make fun of like lawful good or like lawful evil. Like Darth Vader is lawful evil. He has a code that he follows, but that's actually can be way worse than like chaotic evil. Because if you're lawful evil, it's like, we have a system to destroy you and break down your will, and we're going to like enslave you. Whereas chaotic evil is just like, I'm just going to show up to your house and kill you randomly.
Yeah, that's a valid point.
Yeah. So okay. I feel like I'm more attracted to the demon evil than the angel evil.
More attracted.
So I'm on Team Gorman.
I guess you're right. You've convinced me. Yeah, I was kind of neutral. I liked them both, but yeah, definitely.
I also like how every time Psycho Gorman starts like telling a story, Mimi just like kind of cuts him off. And she's like, boring.
Yeah.
And she's like, let's go play basketball or whatever. And I think there's a one part earlier where he talks about how like the most honorable death is to be eaten. Right.
Yes.
And he's like, this one time I faced down, I feel like a god. Right. And it very briefly cuts to him like running with like a spear toward this like planet-sized tentacle monster, right? And then she just like cuts him off and she's like, I don't care, let's go. And you never see what happens in that fight. And like Psycho Gorman, you can tell his feelings have been hurt, that like he doesn't get to tell his epic story.
Yeah.
I was dying. I keep saying it. This brand of humor is just my kind of humor. I just was dying. So, I mean, we briefly mentioned the dad played by Adam Brooks, who, again, yeah, basically his character is the, I guess, like a lazy loser, right? Like he doesn't have a job. He, early in the film, when he goes to like fill in the hole that his kids dug up in the backyard, like he like after one like shovelful, I don't know how he hurts his hand. Like I took it, he got a splinter or something.
I think he was like, oh, I sprained it. Like it was too heavy.
Yeah. And so now like he has like a wrist bandage thing on, and like he basically just sits and watches TV, and his wife is constantly like, why don't you do anything? He's like, my wrist fucking hurts.
Yeah. And he tries to like pawn it off on like the kids and his wife to fill in the hole first too. Like, yeah. Like clearly it's the dad's job. And he's like, no, wife and children.
I did think it's weird that like he doesn't just tell his kids to fucking do it. Like, you guys dug the hole, fill it back in, you know?
Yeah.
Unless, I mean, he knows they dug it up, right? Because he says, like, you guys did a...
Yeah, they assumed.
Yeah, dude.
I thought the kids didn't dug it up. I thought Psycho Gorman did it.
Well, it's like they dug up the hole, then they found the gem. Then
just a little bit. They didn't... I thought they just dug a little hole, and then he...
No, it was a big hole, because, like, the kid was, like, standing in it.
Yeah, that was as a result of the crazy ball bet.
Right, and then after they find the magic gem, they filled the hole back in. Then Psycho Gorman like came to life and crawled out. And so the hole, you know, was empty again. So it's a little weird that the kids don't say, oh, that's why they went to the warehouse, because they follow like the tracks or whatever, I think.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, but that might be, yeah.
It's kind of weird that they don't say, like, hey, Dad, we actually filled that hole in last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, like, I don't know, because, like, they're already in trouble. But whatever, it's for the comedy of the movie. But still, like, just be like, I'm just going to sit here in a lawn chair while you kids fill the lawn back in, you know? But every once in a while, it does cut to the dad. And it feels like for a lot of the movie, he's removed from the main plot. Like, he'll be, like, taking a dump and, like, Psycho Gorman will, like, shoot a ball of energy outside and it will come crashing through the wall and he'll just be like, God damn it! And, like,
that did happen. Yeah.
But again, I don't know. I found it fucking funny. And the mom is just trying to, like, be rational and chill about all this. But at the same time, like, she's quite angry at her husband and, like, you know, I don't, she's just trying to be a good mom to the kids. I don't get a sense that there's any problem there. Did you?
No, I think it was supposed to be like almost just like old sitcom funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like she's the only one doing any work and trying to hold it together. And he's just like, whatever.
There's this part where he's like, how dare you call me lazy? And she's like, name one thing that you do. And he's just like staring at her, like trying to think of something.
Well, I know. I love that part too. Cause he's like, you know, my dad always called me lazy. This is very traumatizing.
Yeah, you know, dad and every teacher I ever had always called me lazy.
How dare you call me lazy? Yeah.
You know, we're like somewhere around the middle of the movie and like, Psycho yeah. Gorman continues to, he's still like, as soon as I get a chance, I'm going to murder you kids. But you get the sense that he's like starting to sort of warm up to them, at least mm-hmm. to Mimi. And I think the other hilarious running joke is that he never remembers Luke's name.
Yeah, he's like, and the brother. Yeah, Luke's like, you should know my name by now. Like, wait a second, I didn't know his name either.
there's like a shopping sequence where they take Psycho Gorman to
That's
go.
Funny.
To, you know, and it's kind of got that like Pretty Woman thing where he's trying on different outfits.
They like they get ice cream and they're walking around town and like, oh, he like vaporizes some kid that like is taunting him across the street.
Oh yeah, he just like points at him, the kid explodes. And like there's all these scenes where like this alien overlord is walking around and people are like barely noticing him. I think someone says something. I think the kid says nice Halloween costume and that's why he blows him up.
Yes. Yeah.
But somewhere in here is where like the his crew shows up. They're like out in the woods.
Yeah, close enough. Yeah.
And basically like, again, very Power Ranger-y, these like five or six really cool looking aliens show up. And these are not the Council of Gygax. These are like brand new characters. And there's like, to even describe them is hard. One is just like a vat of blood and heads.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that was awesome. Yeah. And he just like spurts blood out of like hoses. People.
One is like a witch with a staff with a head on it. Right.
Yeah. Yep. Like at the end of Beetlejuice where it's like the little tiny little head.
Yeah. Yeah, like a shrunken head. Yeah.
One looks like a dark elf that was left out in the sun.
Yeah. One is like a living tree.
Yeah.
And one is like a kind of like a Shakespearean robot man with a parrot, like a robotic parrot on his arm. And I think there was one more. And they show up and Psycho Gorman's like, thank God you're here. Like, kill these kids, take the gem. And that's when they're like, we actually don't want to help you. Like, ever since you left, we basically just share power. Like, we are a ruling body and we take turns being king. And like the dark elf guy's like, it's my turn right now. And he points to like the crown on his head. And I just thought it was funny that like these evil fucking like alien monsters are just like totally nice to each other. And they're like, yeah, it's it's Tom's turn to be king.
Yeah, and then so then they have like an epic, oh no, they basically because the girl's mad at Psycho Gorman because he's not playing along, she basically doesn't command him to not fight them, so they just beat the shit out of him while he doesn't do anything.
Yeah, until he gives a real apology. Yeah. That he was gonna have her killed.
right yeah because obviously she's like, why would I help you just ask these six aliens to kill me.
Yeah.
And so they're just like beating the shit out of him, and like even in his weakened state he takes a lot of damage, right? Like he is clearly a hard person thing to kill. But in the middle of that, yeah, she's like, say you're sorry. He's like, I'm sorry. And she's like you mean it. and he's like, I'm so incredibly sorry. And then she like gives him permission to kill them. And he just fucking like tears these dudes apart. It was awesome.
It was fantastic to watch. Yeah.
It must have been, I was actually sitting there thinking like how hard it must be to physically create these alien costumes, you know? Because they are pretty cool looking and complex.
And it's not like, oh, they created one and then five copies of it. Like each one was totally different and so good.
Yeah, and so then he fucking like murders all of them in like the most brutal, awesome ways. he chops the witch's head off and the head like rolls away, which we'll come back to. And then I forget how he kills all of them. Like he drains the vat of blood.
I love the fight too, because it's like also very Power Rangers-y. Because it's like the vat of heads and stuff is just like shooting this like very limp little spray.
Yeah.
It's, I don't really know what he does. He just sprays blood on people. And I was like, what does that do? But after he kills them all, he basically falls to the ground and says like,
we see him eating. We get to see him eating someone.
Oh yeah. He's like, I will give you a warrior's death. And it's like, apparently the only person who thinks that's honorable is Psycho Gorman.
The guy's like,
please don't. Please. I don't know. Thank you.
Psycho Gorman's mouth expands to like the size of like a car and just starts
it becomes like a Mako whale, a Mako shark, where it's just like,
and like after he's finished eating, he's got like blood running down his face. He turns to the kids and he's like, what you have just witnessed will scar you mentally for eternity and you will never unsee it. And Mimi's like, cool, let's go.
And she's just like vomiting blood too after.
Yes, she's just so unfazed by all of this. God, I like this movie is so weird. I just kept thinking how weird the movie is. And I get why, like, this is not for mainstream audiences, right? Like, I was trying to picture watching this with my mom and seeing if she would find it funny, right? I just can't imagine, right?
Same with my mom.
even if I gave them like $20 million strictly for marketing to put it in AMC theaters, right? I just don't think a lot of people would go see this because it's a very particular flavor, you know?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people might bump against the, how to put this, the low budget, even though the creature effects are very creative, it's still a low budget movie.
Yeah.
Again, it just sort of comes down to if you like that flavor. Yeah. And again, I clearly do. I also recommend Kung Fury for those who haven't seen it, which is not them. But
very, very similar vibe.
Yeah, it's just this like hyper 80s goofy violence nonsense. That's the best it comes out to.
Kung Fury's a big hit though. People love that.
Yeah, but I don't think most people have seen Kung Fury.
No, but in cinema circles, people love it because it's so like retro and homage-y in a way that I don't feel like this hits the same thing, you know?
Very true. There is a subtle line of like, this is not trying to trigger your what do you want to call it?
Hey, remember this movie.
Yeah, it's not trying to trigger nostalgia. I think that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
It certainly feels like 80s, and it feels like in the way that the editor is really clearly trying to aim for a...
the Missy audience.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Psycho Gorman is definitely trying to aim for the, like, the 80s, you know...
I'd say it's like more 90s because it's like those fucking weird 90s movies too that that kind of like culminated in like Spy Kids, where it's like, I don't know, maybe I was a little too old for Spy Kids, but my interpretation of it was like, this just feels like a fucking acid trip.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, like earlier 90s, right? Yeah, it's just like, it's just sort of falls under like, who made this? Why does this exist? Yes. Right? But like, I'm so glad it does because it's so refreshing to me. But I'm going to show this to everyone. I'm going to have fucking Psycho Gorman parties. Like but jumping back into the movie, right? So after this massive fight, Psycho Gorman has been seriously injured because like they coated their blades with like a special poison that's killing him. And so they call their dad and they're like, we need you to come pick us up. And they like load Psycho Gorman into this truck. And as they're driving down the road, you see the head of the witch like rolling down the road. And she's like, I live again to fight another day. And the dad just accidentally runs it over and smushes it.
Oh, well, we didn't really talk about like the council plot. They're like very early on, like they're trying to retrap, like they learn that Psycho Gorman's escaped and they're like, oh, it's on this, you know, backwater planet of Earth. I don't think they say that.
yeah, I don't remember that joke. But
No. That's a different property. But they, as their Pandora is like, bring in the human. And I love this part because they bring in this woman and she's like, ah, yes, we are here to save you. Don't be worried. And then she like phases her down in this like space cube that like crushes her down and just this, like, blood and guts. And then she like can touch it and then take her form. And very clearly they just killed this woman.
No, they basically like reduce a human woman to the size. It looks like the Hellraiser cube, except it's just made of pulsing bloody flesh.
Yeah, right. And then she like smashed, it looks like almost the heart was like beating inside of it, and she just like smashes it on the desk.
And then she uses the blood to take that woman's form, and then she goes to Earth.
Right.
And so Pandora is now a young black woman walking around Earth trying to find Psycho Gorman, and she basically I'm not sure how she tracks him to the kid's house, but she gets there and like meets the mom, right? Like, and I'm a little cloudy on this part, but like basically mixes this potion and gives it to the mom and says, like, you need to drink this, right? And so mom drinks it and it turns her into a Templar, right? Like a badass angel knight thing. And I think does this sort of like lead to the final confrontation in the warehouse?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. So, well, the family comes home and they try to convince the kids to like come to them and like hand over Psycho Gorman first. Remember?
Right.
And so the brother goes with the mom and the Templar, and the dad and Mimi drive off with Psycho Gorman.
And Psycho Gorman, again, I think I said this, but like he's like, you need to give me the gem or I'm going to die of poisoning.
Right. So he needs to regenerate.
The dad is like... when I was a kid and some guy asked me into his van, he wanted to show me his baseball cards. You know, I could have said no, but I took a chance. And yeah, there were some great baseball cards. It was a great memory. So I think you should give him a chance. And
yes. I'm sorry. I know I'm being such a fanboy, but his delivery is so funny. Like, it's so deadpan. You know, like when you find the kind of humor that just makes you happy, you got to embrace it, right?
Yeah.
But I think the other part we forgot to talk about the scene with the cops, right?
Right, it's, we did. Yeah.
This is like halfway through. This is before the big fight in the forest where they're like playing basketball with Psycho Gorman, and this cop car pulls up, I guess because they see like an alien overlord guy.
Well, didn't they get called because he like killed a bunch of people in town?
Oh, it could have been because he like blew up the kid or whatever. Yeah. But either way, the cops show up and Psycho Gorman, like, he basically causes one dude to like melt, like his like he basically looks like a melting candle of a human being, but he's still alive. And his hand has like fused to his handgun. And he like he's just like stumbling around and like he's like praying to die, and he keeps trying to shoot himself, but he can't. And so like Psycho Gorman has like made a mindless, like bloody corpse slave to follow him around.
Oh yeah, he's like, oh Mimi, another creature for your game. You're what is it, Psycho Ball or whatever?
Crazy ball.
Yeah, and so there's like this like fucking bonkers, like melting cop character that's just sort of like always with them
and just like randomly shooting sometimes.
Yeah, because the gun just like goes off. And somewhere in there is where she explains the rules of, I keep saying dodgeball, but it's not. What is it again?
Crazy ball.
And like it's like if you're familiar with the Cones of Dunshire from you know Parks and Rec, it's like the most complicated rule set you could imagine, right? You like, she's like, everyone throws the ball away from their opponent. You try to catch the ball. I'm not even going to go into it. But like, she goes through all this, and Psycho Gorman is like, I'm not getting any of this.
Like, but it's basically like Quidditch. There's a shit ton of rules, but there's only one way to win.
Right. And so this is important because at the end of the movie, right, the big, everyone shows up at the warehouse, and it's like mom in Templar form with Pandora, the head Templar. And Luke, the brother, who's like, I'm putting a stop to this, right? I'm putting my big boy pants. And Mimi and Dad and Psycho Gorman are like on the other side. And they basically decide to play crazy ball, right? Mm-hmm. Am I right? Do I have this order right?
Yep.
Yeah. And
well, so it's like they fight, and then is it they get to a standstill or something? And she's the or like he's about, she's about to kill him, and he's like, oh, don't you like have a trial by chosen combat or something?
Oh, right. At what point does she give him back the gem? Was that before Crazy Ball?
And we're really good at this today.
We all watched this movie, right? I watched it last night.
I watched it last night too.
Well, because it's just like a sequence of jokes and gags, yes, and
the
crazy creature
stuff
effects.
Really confused me. I think I tune out of sports stuff, and so I don't know.
Which that is a mainstream sport, Crazy Ball.
Oh, there's a joke about that in the movie, right? Because it cuts to the Council of Gygax, like watching them play Crazy Ball on their like holosphere, yeah. And one of the aliens goes, "I don't get sports." But yeah, basically you're right. At some point she gives back the gem. Psycho, like she like, oh, I remember. Basically mom or dad says like, you should give him back the gem, but like make him promise not to kill any of us. Right. And so she's like, you promise not to kill us. He's like, I swear. And she gives him back the gem. And I think dad is like, what about the rest of Earth? And like, she's like, eh, who cares about them? And so then now he's fully restored. He fights the paladin. He gets his ass kicked, and that's when he's like, I demand, you know, one trial by combat or whatever. Let's play Crazy Ball. And so they like line up, and they like these aliens and kids and family are playing basically like a weird form of dodgeball, and it's fucking nonsense. But they end up, I think she says like, if you win, you get to kill Psycho Gorman, and if I win,
you get to keep him.
Yeah, exactly. And so they help me out. What happens? They win.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
but
win.
What happened? No, they, but what happens to the paladin? Doesn't he kills her?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he gives her a warrior's
hero's
death.
That's and she's right. Like, no, it's okay.
And then right after they win, like like dad goes to high five Psycho Gorman, and like they high five, but it's such a high impact high five that it shatters his wrist.
Oh, yeah.
And his like and like the his bone comes
so
out
now
of his
wrist is really hurt for real.
And so dad just like walking around with like a bone jutting out of his arm.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I think basically, you know, it's clear that Psycho Gorman has like he has a fondness for them. And he's like, I'm going to
yeah.
I think he says, I'm going to spare all of you.
Yeah. Yeah. But not the rest of the world.
Correct. Yes. And so yeah, and then even at the end, he's like, you know, goodbye, Mimi. Goodbye, mom. You know, he says the mom's name, the dad's yeah. names. And he's like, and you to the brother.
Yeah.
And oh, and mom gets like turned back into a normal human.
Yes.
Again, how I don't know. There was a lot happening at this part.
Yeah. If there's any sort of question about how or why, the answer is just space magic.
Yes. That's the thing. It's funny because I know I'm normally the guy who's so ranting about the how and the why, you know, it's just.
Well, totally.
You
don't need it because this movie's not about that.
Exactly. Right. Like, it's just. Straight from the beginning, the movie is like telling you this is going to be a fucking weird bonkers movie. And so if you're going to sit there and fight against, wait, how did he do that? Like,
yeah, no, you're the asshole if you're trying to put logic on it.
Yeah. So I think at the end of the movie, right, like the family has been restored, and then it like cuts to like news footage as like Psycho Gorman is like destroying Earth. Right. Like there's
pretty
news
much.
Footage of it. He's like the size of Godzilla, and it says like giant purple man like destroying cities. You see him like shooting lasers and shit. And then I forget what like the last moment of the film is. Is it just him blowing shit up?
I think that was it. Yeah.
And then did you guys stay for the mid credits scene
with
the council?
Oh no, I didn't see that.
You
Dang.
Guys didn't see this last
what
part
happened?
With the council?
No, I let the credits go, but I went up to go to the bathroom. I must have missed it.
It cuts back to the Council of Gygax, right? And they're all like watching as Psycho Gorman like destroys Earth, and they're like, "Well, now that that's finished, I guess we should go to Plan B." And like one of the aliens pulls out like a really simple like snub nose revolver, like a very like an Earth weapon, right? And he's like, "We should kill ourselves." And he goes, and he's like, "Who wants to go first?" And they all look around, and like the brain in the jar just raises his hand. And it ends.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Like, amazing.
Oh, thank God you saw that. That's great.
You should, I mean, yeah, if you
can go back
that,
and watch it, yeah.
I think you have like 48 hours, right?
You can
go back and
yeah.
watch it. It was I mean, like it doesn't add anything except just another moment of momentary laugh, right?
Yeah,
but it's really
that's
funny.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, that's Psycho Gorman. I think we hit all the main points, you know? Obviously, there's a lot of visual comedy, especially in, like, watching the alien wear, like, his, like, cowboy outfit, you know, or whatever you want to call that. The various outfits that Psycho Gorman wears are hilarious.
And there's so many like random jokes that like you just have to like watch it to see. Like,
yeah,
he tells a million jokes, like, because he's just being so deadpan and funny. Like we said, like the whole movie, but it comes across so funny because he's talking to children.
Yeah, there's I've just never seen anything like this, and it's such like a clever idea that like this all powerful evil being is at the control of like a 10-year-old girl who's like really sassy. And every time he's like, "I will eat your soul," and she's like, "I don't care, let's go. Come on, let's go play." I guess I'm a Stephen Kostansky fan. Like, I guess I've always been and just didn't know it until now, right?
A Stephen Kostansky stan?
Would it be a Kostansky?
Kostansky?
But, like, I'm just a really big fan of practical effects, you know? And we see it so infrequently these days. Like, to just the sheer amount of creativity. I think that's what it is. That's what I'm responding to. There's so much creativity on screen.
Yeah.
Where most things I watch just feel like I've seen it 100 times in other forms, you know?
Yeah. Mm. I think it needs to be celebrated because I'm so scared of that dying out because it has a totally different feel than, like, most of the movies being made now. And I just, it gives me so much joy. And I want that art to continue.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you liked Psycho Gorman, you really should check out these other movies. Like, if you like this, you will like Manborg. Like, Manborg is very similar. It's fucking amazing. And you guys haven't seen that, right?
And we didn't. No, I haven't seen it. We did an episode on The Editor, too.
Yeah. I think, in terms of the other ones, I think I would rank them like Manborg is my personal favorite. And then The Editor, which, again, I just, so good. And then Father's Day, which is their first film, is, it's still great. It's they're all weird. Father's Day is, I can't even describe Father's Day. It's like, it's about like a fucking serial killer who murders people on Father's Day, but it goes to some weird places. I think The Void is probably the closest one out of all of these to a straight horror movie, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember The Void having much comedy.
It's not,
to it.
Yeah, it's not nearly as
much. Yeah, it has some comedy. Like weird tonal stuff to it. Because it's like a little bit of that comedy sneaks in, but overall it's played mostly as a horror movie.
Yes, especially like the second half where they go into the void and it's just like creature design central.
I really like The Void.
You know, when I watched it, I enjoyed it, but I felt like there was something missing.
Mm.
But I think if I were to watch it again, it's probably going
to
grow on me.
I would like to watch it again now knowing, what I know now about the creators, but I liked it, but I also felt like there was something missing. Like, I don't think about it that much. Like, I enjoyed it while I was watching it, but it's not one I like think back on.
Yeah, I think for me, the things I remember about The Void are like the cool cult dudes that stand around the hospital with their like cool, like black triangle outfits, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, again, toward the end when they like, whatever, go to hell or whatever they do at the end, like The Void basically just becomes so bonkers that I can't even describe what's happening. But the monsters are so fucking cool looking. But it kind of just feels like the last half hour of The Void is just people running around getting chased by monsters. Mm-hmm. There's not much happening.
Yes. Yeah, right? It much feels like a contained monster movie where it's like, we're in a hospital and there's a monster chasing us. It's if that... Whatever you're picturing is exactly what happens in that movie, except for the end.
But I do feel that like it's that dash of humor that makes these by saying like this is bonkers, just enjoy it. It's easier to get into it. But
yeah.
The Void, because The Void is taking itself more seriously, it triggers that like that part of my brain that says like, wait a minute, why didn't they do this? You know.
Mm.
But maybe I do need to revisit it with fresh eyes. Is that the term?
Yep.
And I'll tell you, I sure as shit am going to watch Leprechaun Returns now. Like, I no one told me that it was directed by this guy.
There was also, we skirted over one other tag scene, which happens kind of after the plot's over, but I think before the credits, with what? Alistair and his parents.
I
did see that one. Okay.
I forget if that came before or after the Council of Gygax. You're right. I think that
it
comes
was definitely
last.
Before because.
Oh really?
Well, okay. Me and Chris both saw that, and we didn't see the other one.
Yeah.
No, valid point.
Or maybe we saw the middle one. I just didn't remember it. Whatever. But basically, it's just Alistair's parents, who we've never seen or met before, are just like, Alistair, it's time for dinner, and then the brain just like slimes its way in, and then it's just sitting at the table.
And yeah, and like the credits are rolling while you just watch like mom, dad, and like brain monster son having dinner peacefully, as though they've just like they are totally okay with the fact that their kid is a fucking crank.
Brain monster.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, like that really made me uncomfortable, but it's still funny. Like, I really can't explain to you why. I just can't. It's like I can watch a dude rip a dude's head off and melt a guy and turn another guy into like a living pain statue, but like a brain child, slimy creature. It's just, I think it has something to do with the eyeballs. Like, if it's the big eyes that look like they're full of such sadness. But yeah, this was a weird fucking movie, but I am, like I said, I am so glad you picked it, Missy. Like,
yeah, I had a blast.
Would have watched this eventually anyway. This Same. Is just, it was on my list, but it might have taken me longer to get to it. And again, if you, I see why earlier one of you compared this to Blood Machines, right? It's also got that like visually they couldn't be more different, right?
Right.
Like Blood Machines looks like a CG acid trip, right? Like a music video, like you said, and it sort of is just a long music video. But in terms of the designs of things, like the robot in Blood Machines, right?
Totally.
Like, that's kind of the same design. It's got that throwback sort of like, you know, again, Power Rangers is really the best reference. Like,
yeah,
I didn't
if that's
even,
like a pleasing visual to your eye, then you'll find a lot to enjoy.
I don't know. Is there anyone you think like wouldn't like Psycho Gorman? Like, I know who wouldn't like it. Again, like people who don't enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're over the age of 42 or under the age of 25. And...
Yeah, I mean, this like, obviously this is not for, basically nothing we review here is for children, right?
So I think if you're a horror fan, there's so much to appreciate in this. Like, even if like every aspect isn't your thing, I think what they do with the practical effects and the creature design, I think any horror fan would appreciate that.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little not confused, but like, you know, on Rotten Tomatoes, it has like a 61% audience score, right? But it's certified fresh with a 90%. So like, it goes to show you that obviously, like any movie, there are people who don't like it, right? Like some people watch this movie and we're just like, I don't know, it's kind of boring. Some here, right, from RogerEbert.com, Simon Abrams says, Psycho Gorman isn't clever or lively enough to be more than fitfully fun, especially given how much time is spent mocking generic, but painstakingly recreated plot contrivances. 1.5 out of 4. And all I've learned is that Simon Abrams and I are never going to be friends, right? Like, he's clearly watching it. The very fact that he's like painstakingly recreated plot contrivances. Like, if you're the type of person who's like, oh, well, isn't that convenient, right? Yeah. Well, yeah, then this movie isn't for you. This is just fucking goofy fun. But I don't know. I guess, you know, we've talked about this at length. Any Missy, you always laugh at the end. Why? What?
Because it's just that you have a hard time wrapping things up. But I try not to help. I just find it funny to hear you squirm. Yeah.
I just like to sit here and watch. Yes, we did review it today. What did go on, Rodney?
I like to give everyone a chance to say final thoughts, but you don't want to talk anymore? You're all fucking done. All right, we're done here. Thank you
for
listening.
I have a final thought.
Oh, great now job, you want to go ahead, Chris.
Great job. Great job.
Thank
Rodney.
You. I appreciate that.
Great job, Chris.
Oh, thank you. Great job. Also, Rodney again.
Remember when the part when Missy forgot that January comes before March?
That was toughy.
That was good.
Did not ring a bell. Yeah.
That was the best. I might just cut the episode down to just that part. Okay. We're done with Psycho Gorman. Great pick. Next week we're doing Society. Watch it. Come join us. As always, you know, if you want to reach out to us, you can find us on Twitter at Podforsaken. You can email us podforsakenpodcast@gmail.com. And I haven't done this in a while, but I'm going to do it now. I'm going to ask you that if you are a fan of the show, to go on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. Give us 5 stars, write a little written review. I know it's a little time consuming, but it genuinely really helps us because it helps us get seen and grow our audience. Alternatively, just tell your friends about us, right? Get some more people to join the Podforsaken and we will be eternally grateful.
We would. Yeah. Tell your friends about us. Tell your parents about us. Yeah.
Yeah, but only if they're under 42 or over 25.
Besides Missy's mom, I don't know anyone over 42 who listens. Dude, we've done almost 90 episodes of this show. My mom's never listened once. I guarantee you, if I asked my mom, what is the name of my podcast that I've been doing for almost 2 years, she would have a blank look on her face. No doubt.
Well, this has been sad.
Yeah, that's it.
really landed the sad plane on this one.
I mean, look, it's not for her. She doesn't really like horror movies, you know.
Neither does my mom. She hates them.
Yeah, it's not for my parents either. They just they really don't like me.
All right. On that note, I think that's a good place to end. All right. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to the episode. If you could like, subscribe, and share this episode, that'd be great. If you want to share your feedback with us, we can be reached at podforsakenpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.